Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello and welcome to episode 44, Happily Ever Marriage Story. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. So, in case you've been living under a rock, this is a new movie on Netflix. It actually was going around on the, what is it called, like film festival circuits. Mm-hmm. I know it was actually playing here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. In the theaters before it was coming out on Netflix, but I held out until it was free.
Me too.
And in my living room. But I was so excited. Obviously, relationships, marriage story,
the great
promos,
actors.
Great actors. I mean, ScarJo.
We had to put
it.
This on the list.
Yes. And so today that's what we're going to do is break it down. So much. I mean, we don't want to give too many spoilers.
I know, that's what I was thinking. You probably should watch it.
Definitely go watch it. Yeah.
Because we're going to be talking about some things that maybe you wouldn't expect come out of the movie.
Yes.
So you might want to go watch it before
exactly.
you listen to it.
Exactly. So go watch it and have tissues nearby because you're going to cry. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of WTF moments, I'm sure, for everyone, but yeah, go watch it and then you won't have to worry about spoilers.
Exactly.
On this. So, basically about a couple, Charlie and Nicole, mm-hmm. who had a relationship and then you kind of see it devolve from there. And so, yeah, what we're going to do is really just dive into some of the major themes from this movie. I don't know if you want to describe it.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Well, I'm thinking in describing it, that can kind of get us jumping off to the first thing that we're going to be talking about. But so Adam and Charlie, ScarJo and Adam Driver, mm-hmm. which I just love Adam Driver, mm-hmm. by the way. I know he's very untraditionally handsome, but I'm into him.
Yeah,
I'm feeling
it. I know. A lot of people find him good looking.
There's something mm-hmm. about him. I don't mm-hmm. know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. But they are, so ScarJo, or let's call her Nicole. she is an actress and worked in LA and had a little bit of success in LA. I think that's where she's actually originally from. Mm-hmm. And then goes, decides that that's life isn't really for her, and then mm-hmm. goes out to New York City and kind of gets involved in the theater scene where she meets, can correct me if I'm wrong with any of this mm-hmm. stuff. I'm not sure mm-hmm. if I'm totally getting it right.
Well, I do think she was engaged, remember, previously
to somebody else,
and then was like,
I don't know this life.
Yeah, but like wasn't really verbal about it until mm-hmm. she went to New York and then met.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it was kind of like in a like a finding herself moment in New York where she made a decision to stay in New York. Mm-hmm. And then she meets Charlie, who is I think also an actor, but then like becomes a director.
Yes.
She's following with his, you know, dreams and they're living a life in New York mm-hmm. City and mm-hmm. they're married and they have a child and mm-hmm. You know, it kind of starts with them being in that situation. But then we start to see that Nicole is actually pretty upset about their life and starts to, like, takes a trip back to L.A. to go visit her family. Mm-hmm. And when she gets to she didn't visit her family. She was doing a pilot for a mm-hmm. TV show. And then when she goes over there, I think that there's another realization that this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
And how do I... And not only this is where I want to be, but I almost think that she had a personal realization of this is maybe the kind of life that I want to live too. And so the battle kind of ensues where she gets a lawyer and then they start going through the divorce process. Mm-hmm. But some of the things that I know that I pointed out or that I was able to kind of pick up on her behavior is how there was such a lack of communication between mm-hmm. the two of them and how she was experiencing all of these feelings. Actually, to even go backwards, the movie starts out with them writing love letters about themselves, right?
Yes.
To a mediator. Well, no, they wrote the love letters.
Yes.
We hear it because they're reading it as kind of the intro.
Yeah.
But then the mediator says, okay, now you have to read your letters to each other.
Yeah.
And she refuses.
Yeah.
And that is like such a pivotal moment. And now she might be a little bit difficult in kind of being honest mm-hmm. about the situation. And the whole purpose of the mediator doing that was to kind of say, hey, remember you guys liked each other?
Yeah.
Let's not get nasty.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes that happens.
Yes.
So she already had a little bit of hesitation on being open and nice about this whole situation. But she,
I think you're resentful though and angry.
You're mixed,
you know,
right?
It's hard.
Yeah. So I think that she, as it kind of goes, as we kind of see the story tell itself, we see that she really doesn't have a good grasp on who she is and what she wants. She thinks she knows what she wants, but she isn't really sure. But then she's mad at Charlie because he doesn't know what she wants, and then he doesn't really understand why she's so mad. Yeah. And so one of the things we kind of wanted to talk about today was that's common.
Yeah.
It's common not to really know what you want or how to fight for what you want for lots of reasons. And so how do people increase that awareness within themselves rather than kind of project that anger onto their partner?
Exactly. You know? And I think, you know, in relationships, and we've talked about this in I'm sure other podcasts before, but in relationships you get into such a routine, you know, and like you said, then feelings of resentment start getting up, but you've had this routine for so long and you don't know why you have these feelings, and we don't take time to figure out why we have them. We just know it's easier to blame the other person because it feels better, and it's easier for us to start creating that narrative that, you know, woe is us, and starting to feel like the victim, because then people are more on our side. But a lot of the times, you know, when we start getting resentful, it's something has shifted within us. And like you were saying, knowing that that's common and that that's okay. As humans, we're constantly evolving. And I think something that isn't talked about a lot in relationships is that, you know, no matter how things have been and the routine has been and the expectation has been, at one point that could have worked in your relationship, and now something has changed, and knowing that it's okay to have a conversation that says, I want something different. And I mean, depending on what the context is, you know, there are some things like, you know, depending on where we want to live, okay, sometimes we can work through that. Sometimes it's huge things like views on religion or things that can completely change the relationship, and, you know, seeing if, okay, if, is this something that we can still work out, or have we now come to a place where, you know, we can't, and the life that we, you know, wanted for each other is no longer possible just because we have shifted. Again, very, very difficult conversations. I know it sounds so easy of like, just talk about it. Very difficult conversations, but at the same time, necessary.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, to kind of add to that is giving yourself the permission to have those conversations. Yeah. Like you were saying, this ability, this necessity to evolve is you have to. I mean, we all have to do that, and we all have, and throughout our lives. So why would it be different throughout our marriage? Of course we're going to have those shifts in beliefs. And so how do you find it that that's what it is that's going on? That's what your body is saying. Like, hey, this is, I don't want to be in New York City anymore because I have a child and I miss my family, and I want to change up my career a little bit, and that's really important to me. And then feeling like, but I already said I'd stay in New York. And so now you're in this conflict of, but I told you one thing and I'm feeling another thing. Now I'm afraid to say it.
Yes.
And because I'm afraid to say it, I hate you because you make me stay in New York, you know?
Because it's your fault.
Because it's your fault that I'm in New York. It's like, hold up, Nicole.
Yeah.
It's not your, that's not Charlie's fault necessarily. Yeah. He doesn't know what's going on. Not to say he's without blame.
Exactly.
He kind of neglected the marriage quite a bit too.
Yes.
But I don't think he noticed that he was doing it.
Exactly.
Which I think is also a common tale as well.
Yes. And also, to again add on to that is, you know, that you can feel as you know, a partner in this relationship that you are, in quotations, talking about things because you, like, mentioned it once or because you've said
absolutely
something. When, you know, we have to remember that in the grand scheme of, or not the grand scheme, but like for the duration of the relationship, there are many times when maybe you spoke about the same topic, but it wasn't so important to the partner. So say they did talk about LA, and they do have this part in the movie where they do say this. We talked about, you know, getting, you know, decorative things in our apartment and things that never ever happened, you know? So this whole idea of, you know, we could talk about the same topic one day and it not actually affect you because it's not that important. And then talk about the same topic a week later and it actually be something very important to you that now like is a dagger to your heart mm-hmm. when you hear your partner say like, psh, we're not moving to Los Angeles. But for them, they're still seeing it the same. They're just seeing it as like, this is just something that we're talking about. Yet the only thing that has changed is the importance that it is to one yes. partner. Uh-huh. Yet there was nothing to like delineate the difference. Right. You know, there was nothing to say like, hey, this time when we're talking about it, this is really important to me. Mm-hmm. And like, I need you to be very, very understanding. If you're talking about it in exactly the same manner, there is no way your partner is going to know that now this is important exactly. to you. And like you were saying, then that's when you start getting resentful on the times when it really, really, really hurts.
Exactly, yeah.
Yet the only thing that has changed is your perception of it. And sometimes we've never communicated that to our partner.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we see, right? Yeah. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you wanted to do is to go to go to LA?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to go to LA. And then that's kind of where the battle begins.
Yeah.
And so that kind of transitions into what happens after that when they're unable to kind of do the thing that we're talking about, identify what's making you mad, really fighting for the meaning of it and why it's so important and how you do that. And you just keep going after that conversation. They don't do that. And instead they go the other route of including lawyers
yes.
into the divorce.
Yes.
And that's where it gets really kind of sad to
yes.
watch what happens yeah. with that, because not only do we find that the lawyers take a lot of their financial resources.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that Charlie gets that huge grant.
Yes.
So he wins, I don't know,
yes. $65,000? No.
$600,000.
Oh, yes, yes.
like a grant for yeah. to like produce a play on yes. Broadway or something like
yeah.
that. And he's using this money, this thing that, you know, gets this money for these huge professional accomplishments that he's had, and to be using it on lawyers who are
yes.
a-holes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Talk about a dagger to the heart.
I know. Well, and that's one of the things that really stood out to me. You know, when I first saw Marriage Story, I thought it was going to, like, delve into,
like marriage,
you know,
right?
them and marriage
totally.
And all of this. And what the biggest thing that I came out with was, like, oh, my God, the system for divorce, you know, at least in California, because that's what they try to, like,
oh,
you know, emulate. But I feel like, yeah, that it's everywhere is just this, like, clusterfuck
of it's
like
true.
A situation like
yeah.
you know in the beginning, like you were saying, they kind of start off as like, you know, we're still friends, we still care about each other, mm-hmm. we don't want this to be messy, we don't want to involve lawyers. And then somebody kind of like, you know, gets in Nicole's ear mm-hmm. and is like, actually you probably should, just, you know, just to make it like mm-hmm. easy and like, you know, not, you know, so that it's not like, you know, murky or anything, and you have like actually, you know,
right.
rules to all of this. And so then we start involving the lawyers a little bit, and you start seeing like, okay, well, I, you know, I'm not asking for like, you know, this whole big thing, but then the lawyer's like, but in order to get a little bit of that, you
yeah.
have to ask for like
yeah.
all of these things that you don't even want. And for me, that was just like, oh,
but
oh
she
my
said
gosh.
She doesn't want to.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. And I think it's just different in our worlds, because we're like, okay, if you don't want to, that's fine. Like, that's you and we'll follow that. Versus the lawyers are like, no, like,
right.
I know you don't want this much, but you're going to ask for all of this.
Yes.
And that's just what it is, because you have to.
Oh, and it was so hard to watch
yes.
that. You know, here's, you know, we start off with seeing the and that, I think that's the whole point of this, is like we see this beautiful development of a relationship, and like they acknowledge their wonderful qualities that they have. And, you know, I think Nicole says several times like what an amazing dad
mm-hmm.
Charlie is,
mm-hmm.
but then all of a sudden it's like he doesn't care about his kid because he works too much.
Yes.
Where, so these, you know, these conflicting ideas, which are, I think, unnatural to Nicole,
mm-hmm.
but she goes along with it.
Yep.
A lot of it probably because she thinks this is how it's supposed
this
to go.
This is how it's supposed to go.
And that's,
yep.
that's another good point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people talk about divorce enough.
Yeah.
It's extremely painful.
Yes.
I get it. And it probably brings up a whole lot of opinions from
mm-hmm.
people maybe you don't want to hear the opinions from.
Yes.
So I get why people don't talk about it. But in doing so, then you're kind of at the mercy of what a lawyer tells you to do. And then you think that's the only route to go because they're the professionals. And she kind of gets sucked into that without even realizing, like, hey, you don't have to do it this way.
Exactly.
And the pain that's caused in their journey together through this divorce is just heartbreaking.
Yeah. Exactly. And especially if, I mean, the only, you know, media, you know, movies, lawyers, that's kind of the route. Like, that's what you think is just the norm. And then usually, you know, because that's the norm in society, then that's what your friends and family are doing if they're going through the same thing. And so it's, like you said, it just becomes this, like, this is the only route to be able to, you know, go through a divorce or go through a, you know, separation. And so, you know, kind of wanting to talk a little bit about the different options that people maybe don't know about if this is something that, you know, people have decided to do in their life. And so one of them that they do mention in the movie and they start talking about in the beginning is this idea of a mediator. You know, it's just putting things onto paper. It's, you know, it's a communication kind of process, but it's, you know, it's not as usually financially intense as a lawyer. And I mean, you know, there's still the hard part of your feelings coming up and, you know, what having this or not having this means, and it's still difficult, but it's, you know, it's different.
Well, it, for a lot of reasons too, it's just the mediator. Sometimes lawyers are present, but it's usually the mediator and the two parties. And there is, they're way less expensive. I think most of them do have some sort of mental health background. If they're like professional counselors or social workers, that they're able to kind of get at exactly what you're talking about. Like, how do we figure out a compromise? What are the priorities? How do you guys want to do this? And I'm going to guess, I'm not a mediator and I don't know personally a mediator, but if I were to say something like, hey, what tends to get in the way of mediation not working? I bet it would be people get hurt, then they get defensive, then they start fighting.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's so, that's probably got to be the case, right? Like, I'm hurt, now I got my fists up and I'm ready to battle. So if you can get past some of that hurt and have a good understanding of yourself, mediation could be a great. And mediators, I think, I don't know if I said, are through the court. I think you can also get them out of the field, too.
Yeah, you can get, but you can get like private mediation.
You can get private mediation, and then they can also provide them through the court, but also us.
I think, a therapist is a route that I feel like a lot of people assume, even if you've decided to, you know, go the separation route, that if I go see a therapist, they're going to try to, like, put us back together.
Right.
And, you know, kind of going back a little bit to what I said, I mean, our perspective is really to take what you guys, you know, what whoever comes into our therapy room, it's your goals, it's your wants, it's your this, you know, we're not there to say, oh, you guys should, you know, stay together, actually. Or did you guys even really try to stay together? I mean, an aspect to explore if that's something that you want to explore. But if, you know, if a couple comes in and they're like, look, we've decided to do this, you know, we don't want to look at the relationship, we're both comfortable with that, we just want to know how to, what this next stage looks like. So sometimes, even if it's not, you know, if there's no, even if there's no kids involved, you know, it could be just the place of, like, what does this look like? You know, are we still going to try to live together? Is somebody moving out? Who's moving out? Like, you know, what are we doing with, like, relying on each other for things? And then, you know, if there are kids, you know, there, you know, there's couples who can also come in to talk about co-parenting and what that looks like. So realizing that therapy isn't always, you know, to just bring a couple back together, that it can be a space to just be able to figure out what this looks like, especially if it's something that's new to both, you know, to both partners in a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great option. If you can kind of get past the pain that you're in with going through a divorce and sit in a therapy room and have a conversation, or even have a therapist help you identify kind of the barriers getting in the way of effective communication, mm-hmm. it can be such a smoother process mm-hmm. and less financially damaging as well, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, I just think, like you were saying, it's important to talk about the different options out there because I think sometimes, you know, there is only one. It's like, oh, gotta lawyer up.
And I gotta get the best lawyer and the one that's going to fight the hardest and got to get the, just because I got to protect myself and whatever.
Yes.
And no, that's not, and we see through this movie, sometimes that's actually the more difficult option mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. It might get you what you want, but it's going to take a lot of, I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah.
I think you can still get what you want mm-hmm. with different avenues.
Mm-hmm. But I think, like you said, it's also being clear of mm-hmm. what is it that you actually want? What is it
that you want, right?
Yeah, what is it that you want? What is actually being driven by, like, in quotations, just wanting to win?
Right.
Perhaps depending on, you know, kind of the lawyer in the situation, you know, do more people get involved and you know, ask the children, you know, mm-hmm. like, where do you want to go? Mm-hmm. Which parent do you want to stay with? Mm-hmm. And like, that's so intense, for children.
Yeah.
Again, you know, a lot of work can still be done. And again, even if you're going through it individually, and not saying that you have to come in with a partner to see a therapist, like, if you're going through it individually and need, you know, to be able to talk to somebody to even just work out mm-hmm. your own feelings, mm-hmm. even if you've decided to go with a lawyer, or even if you've decided to go with the media, you know, and still kind of need that emotional support in the process, knowing that, again, you can, you know, you're able to go see a therapist to be able to help with all of that. And then not even that, but also if, you know, in the future you're looking to perhaps be in a relationship again, being able to do that self-reflection that perhaps can, you know, help the next time around.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, you hit on some really good points. I know it probably seems a little bit rainbows and butterfly to expect you and your ex to come into a therapy session and kumbaya your way out of a divorce. It can happen. I've seen it happen. Yeah. And it's really cool when it does. However, if that isn't the case, because we can never control how the other party is going to respond to things, it is, I would say, an absolute must to be in individual therapy throughout the divorce process, just to, not only as a opportunity to kind of just vent, I think, some of your pain that you're going through, but also to maybe identify the barriers that you could be bringing to the process. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there is a defensiveness going on. Hey, let's talk about that defensiveness. Where is it coming from? What are you trying mm-hmm. to protect? Can we communicate that more effectively and maybe get what you want in a different way? Mm-hmm. But also, you know, what you were saying about the growth process, there's, you know, I believe that it is a relationship. There's two people that are in this marriage and now in this divorce. There's a responsibility to reflect on what is it that I contributed to this divorce. And what I mean by that is, what, maybe I didn't set good enough boundaries. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't know myself well enough, and I tended to get angry because mm-hmm. nobody else knew who I was mm-hmm. either. Mm-hmm. Or so it's not.
Maybe I had this belief that the other person was going to read my mind.
Maybe
I didn't have to explain myself.
Exactly.
Because they've known me for so long.
And that's tough, because in the midst of divorce, you don't want to, you know, really go there and kind of look at what was my contribution to that, because you want to just say, you suck to the other person.
It's way easier.
It's way easier
to point the finger and say,
right?
You suck and I hate you and look how I've been the victim. But
yeah,
great for growth.
If you really want to grow and you really want to kind of feel better about this whole thing, you got to do some of that hard work and be honest with yourself. And I think sometimes the anger and hurt, it becomes a distraction to the growth that could potentially be there.
Yeah.
So we're here for you all. You know,
exactly.
If you're going through divorce, it is terrible and it is painful. No matter how clean mm-hmm. and beautifully you do it, it is, you are separating two people that at one point in their lives did love each other.
Exactly.
So it's a very hurtful and painful process.
Exactly. And again, I know it sounds very like, hey, just do this, put your feeling aside, go to therapy, you'll be fine.
What,
you know, this isn't a, you know, manual as to like how to make the pain go away. You know, as we know, it's very much, experiencing the feeling, going through it, and then at your timing when you feel right. And there's no right or wrong or, you know, length of time for that to take. But knowing that, you know, again, you have supports, and not just, you know, perhaps the community around you, but in maybe unconventional ways that you feel like maybe therapists can help out as well. So on to our bullshit.
Yeah, it's, I know. Well, our bullshit is divorce is always messy. Mm-hmm. And maybe in your experience that might be true.
Or maybe the movies
Movies have taught you that.
Yes, or TV shows.
Or TV, all of the above. Yeah. This is, I mean, there's a reason that divorce lawyers are thriving in this world. But divorce is not always messy. It is, but that is not to be confused with painful.
Exactly.
It will almost always be painful. I mean, unless there's some, you know, outlying circumstances of, you know, but even then, who knows?
Mm-hmm. But the messy of how they showed it in this movie.
It does not have to be like that,
people. It doesn't always have to look like that.
Yes.
Exactly. And then for our takeaways...
Yep. So our takeaways is just kind of what we were talking about a little bit earlier, that if you are thinking about going through a divorce, or maybe that's something that is you guys are currently talking about or in the process of, think about alternative routes. You know, if it is a little bit, you're noticing that, gosh, this is emotionally draining, or, oh my God, I don't have any more money, or this isn't what I wanted. We saw a lot of that with Nicole and Charlie, is they were oftentimes conflicted with what their attorney was saying versus what they really wanted.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't think that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And he would say the same, Charlie would say the same thing. Yeah. And yet they kind of deferred to the attorneys. And I mean, that's gotta be painful. Mm-hmm. So if you're noticing that you're experiencing some of that stuff, there's ways to kind of help resolve that. That's not, you know, forking over more money to your lawyer.
Yeah.
It could be a lot. It could be more processing and therapy, considering a mediator. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. Or being even able, again, either individually or with, you know, your partner, of being able to talk about some of this stuff in therapy if it is possible. And again, you know, there can be sometimes the fear of like, oh gosh, they're going to make us want to get back together. And that's not the case. And so, again, just really wanting to share that piece. And then again, you know, another kind of, you know, takeaway that kind of, you know, goes off track, but that's what we tend to do anyways. But again, something that, you know, maybe I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, but of, you know, that it's okay for people to change and evolve and have the conversations if that's something that's happening in your relationship, or, you know, watch this movie with your partner, and if things come up, you know, again, being on the same page of, you know, hey, let's talk about this, or do you have time to talk about this? You know, that it's okay for things to change in a relationship, but what's more important is that you are communicating about it, and communicating in the way that, like, sets your partner up for success. You know, do they know that this is very important to you?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you may have brought it up 8 times, but out of those 8, you know, which, how many of those really did impact you, you know, and things like that. And so another kind of, you know, bonus takeaway, I guess.
Yeah, no,
of,
for sure.
You know, being aware of what's maybe changed or what you need to change in the relationship and being able to talk about it.
There's a really cool saying that our girl Esther Perel does.
Yes.
But she said that marriage is like entering into a play that you don't know the script to. And I love that, because she's basically, is what she's saying is, hey, Nicole, Charlie doesn't know exactly what you're trying to say here, because he's not living in the same play as you are necessarily. He doesn't have the same upbringing as you. He doesn't have the same familial ties or emotional ties to LA as you, so he doesn't get the importance. You have to inform him of that importance to you, because he can't read that, because he's not living in your play at this point, you know?
Exactly.
So
I love that you used a quote that says play in it, because in this movie,
that's
had play.
I did it.
Look at you tying all the pieces together.
Yes, high five on that one.
High five. That was so good. I was like, yes! Yes!
Right.
Yes, that sounds awesome. All right. Well, that is the end of our episode. And then, oh gosh, I know the holidays are coming up.
Oh,
so
we'll have to get together and chat about it. And
exactly.
See what we're gonna do.
So stay tuned when our next episode will be out. But we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah.
Bye. If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer: the information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and/or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and/or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.